you believe in things that go bump in the night. Night Watchers at nightwatchers.info. Whether you're an amateur or a professional paranormal investigator, the Night Watchers want you to investigate some of the country's most haunted places. The Night Watchers want you. Already in a group? Perfect. Groups are welcome. Join today at nightwatchers.info. Night Watchers at nightwatchers.info. The future of paranormal investigation.
I'd like to share a recent experience where I strongly believe that I encountered a shadow person.
When I looked, it was January 5th, 2046.
I just, you know, I want to find an explanation for it. I want to rule it out as, you know, something that was logical.
There are many things we have yet to learn about and understand. Join us here at Supernatural Existence and learn about the many mysteries of the universe. Feel free to subscribe via any of your favorite podcast directories, including iTunes, or check us out on the Supernatural Existence website at www.globine.com. The mysteries are waiting to be understood.
I really want to see something supernatural with my own eyes, not hear it or think I heard it or anything like that, actually see it with my own eyes, capture it on camera, hear something weird or something like that.
Cheers. this is Lena.
And this is Paul with the SEPS Paranormal Podcast. Check us out twice a month where we will be discussing our most recent paranormal investigations here in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
You can find us at www.sepsparanormal.podshow.com or go to our website, sepsparanormal.org.
Or you can subscribe through iTunes. Just type in SEPS Paranormal in the search field. Come by and check us out.
You're listening to Ghostly Talk with Doug, Scott L., and Bonnie.
Y'all are making it difficult to do a show. That's all I'm saying.
Y'all?
Y'all. All right.
Y'all?
Are you ready?
Now, who do we have coming up, Doug?
Jeff Belanger leads a very haunted life. He's been fascinated with the supernatural since age 10, when he investigated his first haunted house during a sleepover.
All right, Bonnie, your mic's out, Bonnie. You're blowing his whole bit. All right,
I promise to do that because
what else about what else about
how you welcomed Scott, how you welcomed Bonnie
earlier? Yeah,
yeah. Since then, the paranormal investigator has been a writer and a journalist for various newspaper and magazines, and in 1999 he launched GhostVillage.com as a repository for his writings and research on the subject of the supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
The site has since grown. You think?
Yeah.
Okay, I added that. Yeah, yeah. Has since grown to become the largest paranormal community on the web, which it has, attracting hundreds of thousands of visitors per year, which it does.
Yeah.
Including myself. Over the years, Jeff has interviewed hundreds of people about their experiences with the profound. Mm. His objective approach to the subject makes the supernatural accessible to a wide audience.
Yeah.
He brings personality and humor to this subject, which may yeah, he does. which makes him one of the most sought after experts in the field. He has written for many paranormal websites
and
print publications and is the author of several books, and you know his website already. I'm not even going to read it off the page. GhostVillage.com is already in your bookmarks, but we would like to welcome Jeff Belanger by the way, you know, the first time, Jeff, that we had you on, we kept pronouncing your name, you know, the way it's written, which is, and since then, it's been drilled into my head, you know, Jeff Belanger or Belanger.
Yeah.
Because it's French. That's exactly how you put it to us.
Thanks.
Jeff, I love you.
Touché.
No, it's just super to be, what's the name of the show again? It's super to be on that show, whatever this one is.
I think it's the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
Yeah, yeah. The next show.
This is Coast to Coast AM.
The nice Jewish boy.
No, Jeff, in all seriousness, that's great. We haven't talked in a while, and it's really good to have you back on the show to hang out.
Yeah,
here,
man.
So.
No, awesome. That's great for those of you who don't know. I'm kidding. No, it's great to be back with you guys and, it has been a while.
It has been a real long time. One thing I want to do before we get into this thing, though, is I told you this when we were on break. Okay, guys, it's 8:11 p.m. right now. I can timestamp it now, so you can't trick me.
Ooh,
anymore.
You're doing the giveaway.
All right. You're doing a giveaway. And this week is a doozy. I mean, how topical is this? One of Jeff's classic books, Jeff Belanger's classic books, is Our Haunted Lives, True Life Ghost Encounters, a fantastic book. And we're going to be giving this one away this week, seeing that Jeff is our gracious guest. So as of right now, first emailer, first person to drop an email into me, Scott L, S-C-O-T-T-L, at ghostlytalk.com, will get a fresh, brand new, spanking copy of this wonderful book. So cool.
I'm going for it.
I'm going to see like 50 emails from Jeff dropping into me. Hey,
Am I first?
Yeah. Did I get it? Kidding, I could sell those.
No, you
can.
Come on,
did I make it count?
You won the first autographed copy of Confessions of a Support Ho.
Oh, yes, that's the up-and-coming bestseller, top of the New York Times, why is this book on sale list, is Confessions of a Support Ho by Ms. Bonnie.
Yeah, it's about 10 pages long.
Please.
No,
Doug could fill, like, encyclopedias worth of books on the dirt I have on Doug.
Unfortunately, she's traveled with me a couple times.
the show is finally turning into the Jerry Springer show. I know it has. I think we finally got.
And I am pregnant.
I'm glad I could be here
baby.
For that.
Yeah, I'm glad you could be here
but
for that.
But the DNA results say he's not the father.
The transition's finally happening. Thank you, Jeff, for being here. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, no, I tend to bring everything down around me. That's how I roll.
Well, you know what? In all seriousness, Jeff, you are probably one of my favorite people to see speak at any event we're at. Every time I've ever seen you, you know, do any of your speaking engagements, any of your discussions, speeches, whatever you want to call them, they're always a great time. Just getting out there and, you know, explaining a lot of serious things, talking about a lot of crazy subjects that you talk about. You're one of the few people that I really just love to see every single time, and I look forward
in
to
a
seeing
fun
you
and interesting
and
way,
having a good time
and making
too.
It a good time for everybody. It's,
yeah,
it's very
no,
refreshing.
Yeah, we really enjoy that.
I really don't like you that much.
No, I know.
Nice, Bonnie, would you
and
shut up?
I appreciate
up?
Your honesty.
No, I love you.
We're trying to get this there's thing. We're trying to get it rolling, you know.
You know, there's a transcendence to Bonnie that just, you know, she's just ethereal. You know, this sexy woman that is Bonnie that
exactly.
is your sidekick. That just keeps us all in our place.
Exactly.
Yeah,
included.
You can stress the sidekick.
You're about to get sidekicked in a minute.
Sidekick, okay, all day long.
She is co-host.
Right.
After all. Yeah, not sidekick. Co-host.
I call her sidekick. Piss on that. She's a sidekick.
He's going to get sidekicked.
Oh,
and he's,
you're getting a whole chapter now.
He's open right now.
No, Jeff, we really enjoy seeing you speaking. We haven't been to a conference in a while together, so it's kind of a bummer. We haven't seen you in a long time.
I know
that's
weird how conference schedules get... You know, they, like, wow. 1 year, every single conference.
And yeah. It was like 2007, we, like, saw each other, like, every weekend for a couple months, if I remember correctly, Jeff.
Yeah, right. I know. People are starting to talk.
Well, the one of the...
I know. They kept saying, is that Jeff Belanger stalking Ghostly Talk? Is that what's happening?
That's right.
And we're like,
guys,
no.
Wait up. Come on. Have me on your show, please.
No, we have... My fondest thing, we come back with the greatest stories ever from Moundsville Penitentiary. Went there, with the West... Oh, my God, my brain's totally stopping now. West Virginia Paranormal Society, I think that's who it was. I'm probably wrong. I'm probably totally wrong. Brendan Skeen's group.
West Virginia
Ghost Hunters.
Yeah.
I was close. Okay. And you guys came out there. You came out there to hang out, and you ended up, you know, they were barbecuing, and you ended up just running that grill, Jeff. I thought that was the greatest thing ever. And we had a ball. You know, we all got to speak out there, and it was a wonderful time. So, 2007 was really active for all of us. We haven't seen each other too much this year, but what do you got going on? What's going on with you? How has been your year so far?
It's been great. I've been working on a lot of different projects, a lot of different books. I've been doing some conferences, but I guess we haven't been bumping into each other. I'll be at the Queen Mary in like 2 weeks in California. Sorry?
Yeah,
ooh,
cool.
Awesome.
Yeah,
and then I'll be at Bobby Mackey's Music World in Wilder, Kentucky in January. That's with the Ghost Adventures crew.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be doing some stuff around Massachusetts. I'll be up in New Hampshire in April. So there's stuff booking up. You know, all year. And actually, and then there's a conference coming up in Muncie, Indiana in July.
Really?
The Ball State Paranormal Group is putting something together. So
I can't keep up with them anymore. There's a lot of there's even more conferences now. So it's like I got a couple sitting in the inbox right now that I have to follow up on. But it's like, there's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of places to go now. So
I'll be getting around. I mean, Indiana, come on, that's like right next door, right?
It is. One state away.
I mean, you know, closer than say Massachusetts. I know. When you guys came out here, I really wanted to go hang out with you, but I think I was en route somewhere.
You were gone. Yeah, we talked about it. I fired you an email, and you're like, you have to rearrange your schedule, Scott.
That's right, which I think was a totally reasonable request.
Yeah, I
don't know why he didn't do it.
I asked Derek, and he said, tell Jeff to shut his hole. I don't want to hate that guy.
I get that a lot.
We had a fantastic time out there, though, Jeff. We really loved it. Derek,
your neck of the woods is fantastic.
We
went into that something or other Bridgewater Triangle.
Yeah, that's a really
right. Can you tell I decorated?
I'm glad you cleaned.
Yeah, your spray paint work is wonderful.
Yeah, yeah, thank you.
No, we had a good time. We went to the Bridgewater Triangle. We checked a bunch of stuff out there. Derek is Derek Bartlett from Capers. He's a wonderful host. If you're ever out there, he's fantastic.
Yeah.
And the Capers people, they're all a class act. Really nice people. We enjoy talking to all of them. Yeah, so it was a bummer we couldn't hang out with you though, Jeff.
Yeah, I know. Hey, did you get out to the Hockomock Swamp at all?
No.
It's the largest wetland in Massachusetts, and the hydrographic view from above is just amazing because it's like this giant sponge, but it's also a giant paranormal sponge because it's a place where we've got, you know, Bigfoot, ghosts, demons, UFOs, giant serpents. it's just a hodgepodge of paranormal activity, and it's a part of the Bridgewater Triangle. So,
well, the East Coast and the Bridgewater Triangle also has these flies about the size of a fist.
Yeah, those have been proven.
And I have photos. And they yeah. dive bomb you and your car and your everything. They're just like they're suicidal.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry about that. We couldn't get them all out before you got here.
They're called, what are they called, like Razorbacks or something, or blue
I don't know.
Blue
they're called the Crips.
They're the
That's right. Yeah.
Boom! Oh, rim shot. Look out.
They were vicious. I don't know if I'd want to go to a place called a swamp, especially the weekend that we were there, because these things were, well, they were evil.
Well, we climbed to the top of, was it Profile Hill? Is what they call it? Profile Hill?
Yeah, or Profile Rock.
Profile Rock. We climbed to the top of that thing, which was just a trip.
Well, I watched them.
Yeah, Doug watched us. We climbed the thing to the very top there with Derek and everybody. And,
did you kiss the profile of Massasoit? No.
There was a lot of debris around there.
Yeah, sorry about that.
I thought you were going to clean that up, Jeff, but no, there was a lot of debris around it, so I was kind of scared to much less touch a few things.
I really would like a lift put in.
Yeah, we were trying
so that we don't have to climb that rock, just like right up to the top of it. You know, I mean, you go to the CN Tower in Toronto, and you can take an elevator up to the top.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, you can't quite roll up there in your Impala and park right outside. Yeah.
Right, yeah. Profile Rock's completely different. They don't have that thing set up for visitors at all. Mm-hmm. But you know, it was still really interesting, and it really did look like the profile of a
Indian. Yeah, it was really cool.
Oh, my gosh.
It was really cool. So along with the traveling, like you were saying you were doing and all these other wild things, we got a copy of Brandon. They actually pulled that off the shelf, Bonnie, that big book right there. Don't hurry up, Randy.
She didn't even look at it. Oh, she's got psychic ability.
We also on Skype, we just got a porn ad too. Somebody wants us to look at her pictures.
It's Jeff.
By the way, it's Jeff. Jeff's in front of us. I'm looking at Skype right now. We just got an ad. Somebody
You're
wants to show
hot,
us their pictures.
Jeff.
So I thought I'd let them listen.
Thanks, Bonnie.
You're welcome, dear.
We got a copy of this thing, right? It's a brand new book you just got out, Jeff.
Which I'll be taking home tonight.
Who's Haunting the White House? It's a new
right.
book.
What a great time to talk about this, because we have one family moving out next month, or a month and a half from now, or whatever, and then a new family moving in. They might want to know what they're in for.
Yeah.
A book has been sent, that's all I can say.
Excellent.
And I'm expecting a phone call from President-elect Obama any moment. In fact, if I get one during the show, I'm going to take it.
Just flash over, take the call, and then flash back. We'll just tell, you know, we'll tell some kind of joke.
Right. Jeff, you did email for the book, you jerk off.
Did I win?
No.
Actually, you know what? The funniest thing is you were the first person to email in.
Yeah.
If you really want me to send it back out to you, Jeff, I will. I mean,
by 1 minute on the timestamp.
Yeah.
No,
you go ahead. I will defer to the next round.
So yeah, what's going on? What happened with this? How did you get started on this adventure? And this is a kid's book too, by the way.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no, it's a book for young readers, which is good because I keep regressing the further I go in my career.
You're the next J.K. Rowling. We're going to have to call you J. something Belanger soon.
Yeah, something pretentious. I'll work on it.
J.K. Put a K or I don't know Z. J.Z.
Oh no, that's
different initials.
All right, so this
J.X. Belanger.
Are you all set, Doug?
I'm good.
Okay, good.
All right. Good, boy.
Did we get this figured out? Is
hey,
a result?
Hey, when do we go live?
I'm thinking we're not gonna.
I want the next book. Right.
So yeah, it's a kid's book though. It's a kid's book.
It's funny too because I called the White House. It was about 2.5 years ago I started working on this, and you know, I mean, how many places you go to that are haunted are also very historic in general. I mean, the well known haunts, and you know, the White House has just been one of my favorites. For years, I wrote about it in my first book, and so I called them up and I said, "Hey, I want to do a book about the ghosts of the White House." And they said, "Yeah, we're just not interested." And I said, "But it's a kids' book. We're going to use it's a nonfiction book for kids. We're going to use ghosts as kind of an innovative way to teach history." And they said, "Okay, go on." And I said, "All right, I got you now." the fools. So I, with the help of my congressman, with some smooth talking, I was able to go down there, take a tour, interview some of the staff, and I can't believe how forthcoming they were about their ghosts. You know, because here's the thing. If you're going to study the paranormal in general, but especially ghosts, you need to look at history. You have to go back in time. You've got to know who walked there, what events occurred in this location, you know, what may have left some kind of mark that might still be lingering, you know, these kinds of things. You need to know. That's the stage for which we set these ghostly legends on. And it's a critical part of it. And I think that history is such a great story. It just needs good storytelling. And when you turn history into facts and figures, names and dates, you kill that great story that is history. But ghosts, that's intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
And I started thinking, you know, man, I mean, I was 9, 10 years old when I first started getting interested in ghosts. And I was reading books by like Brad Steiger and Hans Holzer and, you know, these kinds of folks that were, you know, certainly above my head in some cases. And I thought, this is an idea. We can talk about the paranormal, talk about ghost investigation, and talk about the White House and learn some history along the way.
So that's
how it came together.
Well, you know, and the thing is, I mean, I'm lucky like you. I mean, I did read up on, like, with the Holzers and things like that, too. But, I mean, everybody knows, anybody who knows me well enough, they know the first ghost book I ever got was Haunted Houses by Larry Kettelkamp.
Yep.
Which I have like 3 copies of now. I mean, how cool are the Ghostly Talk listeners? I, of course, I don't have their names in front of me, but, well, my girlfriend bought me one of them, but I have 2 other copies from listeners who got me copies of this book because I couldn't find it, right? But it was a very, you know, it was more of a basic kids type book, and it couldn't have been a better introduction into the paranormal when I was growing up to really, you know, kind of just start formulating these ideas of like what this stuff's all about, and also just hear some pretty cool ghost stories too, right? So,
right.
You know, that's why I think this is such a fascinating thing, because I think a lot of people who are writing books now, I mean, they're writing a lot of stuff that's more, you know, I shouldn't say adult things, but they're writing a lot of stuff, you know, where it is just, you know, stories of the Great Lakes, paranormal stuff, you know, or whatnot, and whereas this is tailored strictly towards it's a beautiful book, actually. It's very well illustrated. It's really nice.
Dolly Madison.
Yes.
Should have covered up or something. Evidently, it wasn't cold.
Well, let me see that. Hey, I want to check that out. Hang on.
Wow.
Well, those are nice.
Oh, my God. It's paranormal porn.
Hey, Jeff, good pick on this one.
Where'd you find that picture of Dolly? That's all I'm saying.
Those are rocking, man. I like those. Okay, so, go ahead.
She got around, didn't she?
Yes.
All right, what was the question? Go ahead, Doug.
Oh, I don't remember. Something about the White House.
But this building is amazing. I mean, have you guys ever been there?
No, I have not. No.
I've been near there, and I stood outside of it, but I've never been in it. But I have heard, I did go on a tour, a ghostly tour kind of thing in Washington, D.C., and, like, they have to drive by really fast as they go, you know, oh, and by the way, everybody's seen every kind of ghost or whatever, and then they're on to the next thing. Because they can't really park in front of the White House anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, it's here's the thing. You can still visit. It's a little more difficult than it used to be. But when you walk in there and you're surrounded by all that history, and you realize every single president stood where you're standing, it's a really powerful experience. You know, you walk into the East Room and you just go, "Oh my God!" You know, I've seen this room, and you have to realize too, you know, that's as much your house and my house as it is George Bush's or Barack Obama's or anyone else's. You know, it's a public building. It's paid for by taxpayer money, and it's got a very storied history, you know. And when John and Abigail Adams first moved in, they were the first residents of the White House. There was no furniture. So, Abigail would use the East Room to hang her laundry. There she would be with her laundry basket, you know, and hanging clothes, because why brave the elements when you got this giant, you know, empty room. And it's also one of the ghostly legends that's still around today. People have reported seeing a woman, you know, hanging laundry and the smell of soap and things like that.
Oh, really?
In the East Room, yeah, one of these residual kind of things.
Well, I want to get into a couple of stories from here.
They say that visiting dignitaries who've stayed at the White House from other countries have reported ghostly sightings, like in Lincoln's bedroom and all that, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, you just hear these stories, you know, word of mouth. I don't think I've ever actually seen it written down before. But, you know, you hear actually visiting dignitaries, people who are, like, running other countries are like, okay, you know, your White House is kind of haunted.
Well, Sir Winston Churchill was invited to stay in the Lincoln bedroom when he came over for several weeks when America was just getting into World War II. He was given the Lincoln bedroom and asked to relocate to a different room. Queen Juliana of the Netherlands was visiting in April of 1952, and the story goes that she heard a knock at her door. She was staying in the Lincoln bedroom. opens the door, there's Lincoln, and she just about passed out before he vanished. It's interesting that she was visiting during President Harry Truman's presidency. Mm-hmm. Truman wrote about the ghosts.
Wow.
I mean, I've got, you know, we've actually got one of the handwritten letters to his wife dated June 12, 1945. It's in the book. You can see his writing where he mentions the ghosts specifically. He did it on numerous occasions. You know, to quote President Truman, "The damn place is haunted, sure as shooting."
Wow.
I mean, that's according to President Truman. Now, he's not the only one. Reagan made some off remarks. He was walking his dog one day, and some reporter asked him, "Hey, is the White House really haunted?" And he mentioned how his dog would bark wildly near the Lincoln bedroom, but never go in. So there's references there. I called every single presidential library when I was working on this, and I said, "I need any reference you have to ghosts in the White House or hauntings or anything like that."
Mm-hmm.
And at George Bush the Senior Library, I was told, "Yeah, there's two references here, but they're both classified."
No,
I know. And I said, "Okay, now I'm really interested. Would you like to file a Freedom of Information Act?" And so I said, "Well, yeah, of course I will."
Yeah, definitely.
And so, yeah, delicious, isn't it? And so, I finished the book. I turned it in. It was going to the printer and everything else. And about a year later, I get a letter in the mail, and they declassified one of those documents. So thanks to my journalistic work, the world can now know about one of those documents. It didn't make it in the book, but I'll tell you what it said. It was a handwritten note from President George Bush, the senior, to the author David McCullough, the historian who wrote Adams and a lot of other great books.
Yeah.
It said either the White House is truly haunted, or the thunderous applause is still reverberating throughout the building from the incredible lecture, talk you gave last night. Thanks for coming. So
really?
You're welcome. You're welcome, America. That's declassified now. Thanks to yours truly. I did my part.
Well, that's interesting. Why would they classify something like that, though? That seems so strange.
Well, here's the thing. I think what happens is every single document in the White House, it goes into those libraries.
Mm-hmm.
And I think things generally just, they get classified until someone asks for them. And then they get scrutinized. Because, I mean, who can look at every little thing and, say, "Well, this is okay, this isn't." So I think that's probably what happened there.
It may just kind of be a production line thing, too. Okay, this is from the president. Just classify it. Be done with it.
It's easier.
It's got to be important. Let's just classify it so we can go home and watch Good Times. I mean, just whatever. But I'll tell you what, Jeff. Let's take a quick break, though, okay?
All right.
We're Doug's actually perusing through this book as we speak as well. While I run the show. But, it's... it's a really great book.
I'm not going to read it because that would take 5 years.
Yeah, it would take me a long
time. It's a kid's book. Yeah,
it doesn't matter. Doug reads The Cat in the Hat in 3 weeks.
Yeah, I'm a very slow reader.
Well, why don't we go to break, I said.
Yes, I think that's a great idea.
I will not be going to bed. But when we come back from this break, a really great conversation with Jeff will partake. How's that sound, guys?
Bad.
Horrible.
Deliciously sweet, my man.
We'll be right back.
Would you like to listen to Ghostly Talk Live on your cell phone? Perhaps you have a comment for us or our guests. All you have to do is dial 605-475-8590. When asked for the conference code, dial 555-1081, followed by the pound sign.
Listen to Darker Side of the Moon, Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Visit our website at darkersideradio.com.
From horror movies to the paranormal, we cover it all.
It's a spooky, weird, and zany kind of show.
With your hosts,
Laura Moon
and Becky Ray.
Don't miss it.
Hi, this is Luke.
And this is Tobin from Quest Research.
Hey, Tobin, what do you get when four guys with absolutely no video experience whatsoever decide to produce their own online paranormal TV show?
I don't know. What? Oh, wait. I do know. Ghost Diaries, right?
That's right.
You can check us out and get involved at www.questresearch.net. And the good thing about being new is that we will only get better.
Been a soldier. try and make this work, but you keep saying that I act like a jerk. And as the days go by, I need some advice, 'cause everything I know keeps falling apart. Sometimes I worry that these words will slip away. It's never been this hard to say.
Special guest with us, Robbie Thomas, psychic medium. Where is the Lawrence House?
It's in Ontario, Canada. It is a house that was owned by a shipbuilder, and it was haunted. The tools of the trade back then were baby powder. The reason being is I could see, and the kids with me couldn't, so I figured if I threw the baby powder in the air as the spirit was walking through, it would cover it, and then they could say, oh, we see it now. The next tool was a flashlight, so we know where we're going, and a rope, so we could tie it around so we don't get taken away by the spirit. So that was me.
Isn't that what your last girlfriend said?
that's just a Friday night for Anthony. Baby powder, a rope, and a flashlight.
Para Hub Radio, Thursdays, 10 p.m. to midnight Eastern, on Bounce Radio and parahub.org.
This is Ghostly Talk.
We'll be right back.
we're back on Ghostly Talk, as you can hear. We know the show is about ghosts, but have no fear. Because we have Jeff Belanger on the phone. He's probably at his house
wait
alone.
To go home.
This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
And I'm Bonnie.
And I'm Jeff. I didn't want to be left out.
We're talking to Jeff Belanger of GhostVillage.com.
Yeah.
Except this time he's pumped out a really high quality.
Yeah,
it's
a this
book.
Time.
Yeah, I'm shocked.
See, the rest of your stuff was
the
crap.
The previous times it was
that,
all crap.
That early stuff, you know, well, I don't know,
marginal but at best.
The book,
marginal at best.
The book we gave away tonight, crap.
Yeah, that's why we gave it away. I think
however,
Jeff. I think Jeff just dropped off the line.
The new book,
no,
spectacular.
No, yeah.
Oh,
I've been getting
God.
Way too full of myself lately.
I don't believe I said
you
that.
You needed a good dose
no,
of body,
I know. You
huh?
Obviously, it obviously wasn't meant to be come out that
I
way.
I did not mean it that way.
We'll definitely take it that way, Doug. Thank you.
Yes.
No, it's a really... We were talking over the break, though.
Take that however you want it. But I have to say... This book is way impressive.
Yeah,
it's
a beautiful book. It's absolutely fantastic.
The writing, I mean, everything, it just really, really shows this interesting side of the White House, and it puts it in a perspective of history. I mean, you know, you see, you know, you've got the photos, especially the one of Dolly Madison. You've got the...
Yeah, that was nice. Thanks, Jeff.
I don't know how that made it into a kid's book, though.
Well, I'm going to go out by myself, that new Jeff.
I want that new Jeff. That's
all right, sorry. Doug, get going.
Here goes my kid's book career.
That's all my fault. I apologize. Only I could revert this book to the point where nobody wants to.
No, Doug started it.
I started it, though, yeah.
You were the one to point out her breasts.
But it's really... that's the first time that's been mentioned on the
show. That's what we're talking about, everybody, just in case you were wondering. All right, let's go. All right, okay, enough. Poor Jeff is sitting here.
I think he gave it away when he said apparently it wasn't cold in the White House.
All right, well, Jeff, Doug's officially down for the count now, so we're gonna roll on here, okay?
Fair enough.
Doug can't insult you or your book anymore because he can't.
He's laying on the rack unit now. He's totally done. I think. No, it's a really fantastic book, though. In all seriousness, Jeff, it's got some really cool stories. We were talking about those before we went to break. What are some? I mean, a couple other ones just to kind of whet my appetite here. Because everybody else is out there.
Yeah.
I have the book, so go ahead.
Yeah, Lincoln's the most prominent figure there, to be sure. But one of the stories I heard from a foreman who's still working there now, I believe he was working there 2 years ago. He was talking about coming upstairs on the second floor and turning on the lights one morning and sitting right outside of the Lincoln bedroom. He said, "There's Lincoln sitting there with his hands folded on his lap, his legs crossed, wearing a charcoal suit." Looked right at him and then disappeared. And the thing about Lincoln, this is a distinct figure from history. This is a face we all know. He's on our money, he's on the $5 bill, of course. And,
yep.
We know what he looks like. And you'd say, well, why would he haunt his bedroom? And it turns out that was never his bedroom. It was actually the executive office before the East and West Wings were added on to the White House. That was the president's office. And
this was
back when Lincoln was president, you could actually go to the White House, wait in line, and get a chance to speak with him. He met with people all the time. People from all, all walks of life had grievances and that they wanted to talk to the president about. And he took them in. He met with them. This was a hardworking guy who gave everything for the office. And I think one of the things about Lincoln that's so compelling is that you have to remember, of all the presidents, he had the toughest time. His presidency was more difficult than any other. There's
Absolutely.
Not even a close second. His son died while he was in office.
Uh-huh.
And broke his family up in a very big way. Nation at war with itself. The Civil War is raging. Thousands of Americans, both North and South, dying all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just tearing him apart. And then, of course, he gave the ultimate price. He paid the ultimate price for the office. He was assassinated.
He was assassinated, yes.
And so, if ever there was a figure that modern-day presidents needed to still be around, it would be Lincoln. And I remember hearing an interview with George Bush, the senior, talking about in his early days in office where he had to send some troops into harm's way just for a military action. And he's really struggling with it. And he said, "I started to think about Lincoln, and it gave me some peace. And, maybe they call him up. Maybe they they need his spirit, you know, to still be there. You know, when you think of how many incredible leaders have been in that position, have been in that office, some great, some not so great, some only there for 30 days, you know, before they died of pneumonia. You know, and everything in between, and that's just all part of the fabric of the White House and part of the legend. And in some cases, it sounds like it could be residual, but in other cases, there seems to be some interaction to these kinds of things. So, you know, it runs the gamut there.
Well, it just seems like the White House, and we talk all the time, you know, about all these places of power around the planet, you know, the broad strokes, like, you know, theaters, for example, or, you know, castles, or, you know, there's all types of places, churches, you know, all types of places of power where there is this high concentration of emotion, lots of, you know, the White House, for example. I mean, talk about a place where some big decisions are being made, you know, screw Microsoft. Let's talk about the White House here. You're talking about some serious emotional stuff that's going on there. Well, a lot of people going back and forth. We know there's been deaths there, obviously, too. I mean, it just seems like a perfect place for, you know, to go and look and find this kind of activity, Jeff.
Yeah, and it's the kind of thing, you know, hey, let's face it, you know, to conduct like a real paranormal investigation, that would be a dream. And,
oh, wow.
You know, I know George Bush is a big fan of your show, so George, call me. You know, you still have it for two months.
Yeah.
You got weeks left now. I mean, who cares? Who cares at this point? You know, let us in.
Yeah, no kidding. It would be a fantastic thing to do. I agree.
But I won't hold my breath. But at the same time, you know, it's the kind of thing that you know, the presidents know about. I mean, I saw an interview with Hillary Clinton on the Rosie O'Donnell show. That's, you know, she talked about how creepy the place could be. Jimmy Carter's daughter Amy, you know, broke out the Ouija board in the Lincoln bedroom. So people have known about this reputation. The documented, you know, at least in writing, goes back 150 years where people were talking about ghosts. Mary Todd Lincoln believed her son was coming to visit her each night.
Mm-hmm.
And you might dismiss that and say, well, this is just a grieving woman and a woman who might be a little bit off at that. But then a little boy's ghost shows up again in 1911 in the White House, and a military aide wrote in his memoirs that the White House is haunted, and the servants say that it's the ghost of a little boy. They didn't put a name on it, but we know Willie Lincoln was the only little boy to die in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, the decades later, decades after everybody's, you know, gone and buried, you know, this little boy, you know, shows up again. So it's the kind of thing where the building holds on to the past. It breathes history. You have to remember, this is a museum.
Mm-hmm.
It's a you know, head of state. It's a private residence. It's all those things. It takes in visitors from all over the world. And what I love about it, too, is the credibility of the witnesses. You know, people who work there, and there's about 100 employees of the White House. It doesn't matter who's in charge. It doesn't matter if Democrats or Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
These are the cleaning crew, the foreman, you know, the groundskeepers, all these people that run that building and museum. And these people have been vetted in every way, drug tested, psychologically screened, criminal background checks, security screened. You know, these are. I'm not saying other people who see ghosts aren't credible, but the credibility is
These people work in the White House. They're going to be checked out time and time
again.
Exactly. And probably not just one time. I mean, they probably get checks over and over again while they're working there. So, I mean, yeah, as far as credible witnesses are concerned, Jeff, I agree 100% on that.
And so that's what's cool, is that when they say, hey, I saw something, I don't know, we should listen. Now, to be president, no drug screening, no security screening, no psychological screening. You can be crazy and be president. But to work there, that's what really interested me. And I had the opportunity to interview the chief usher, who is the boss of the House, really. He retired back in January of 2007, just this past year he retired.
Mm-hmm.
And Gary Walters, he's served every president since Nixon. 1967, he's been working there. And if you think about it, this guy spent more time in that building than any president.
Mm-hmm.
You know, considering a president can only serve up to 8 years, this guy's been there nights, weekends, mornings, overnights, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
And as you guys know, you know, sometimes you might visit a haunted location and get lucky and see something, but the reality is people who are most likely to experience something are those who work or live in the location, because the odds are with them. They're putting the time in. And these people have stories.
Oh, yeah. Well, we were just talking to John Cicchetti last weekend, a friend of ours here, who actually works on the campus of Ohio Wesleyan University. He works security there 10 hours a night. He works there from 4 p.m. to 2 a.m., right? He's there every night patrolling the campus, and he brings his camera and his flashlight with him all the time, because he essentially ghost hunts every night there. right?
So by doing his job, wandering from building to building.
Scrumptious, man. We should all have a job like that.
Yeah, but that's exactly, it just illustrates your point, though. I mean, this gentleman's been there for 67, so he's been there over 40 years now, right?
Right.
You're bound to see something. There's the probability it's much
and
more
And if
your
you don't see anything yourself, you'll hear from how many people that you know and trust.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, wow.
So, yeah, the probability is much higher to see something like that. And that's, yeah, that you're completely right, Jeff. I mean, people like us, yeah, blow through there, and that's it. I think we'd only get one shot at that if we were able to even get in the White House. We get one shot. Like, yeah, you better find something. You're never coming back again.
And we're usually drinking, I think.
He has ghost hunted with us before, though.
Yeah. No.
No, if I'm not mistaken, there's usually some six packs around.
Yeah, we don't drink on a ghost hunt. We do drink a little bit here and there at certain.
That's a whole show, and it's right to talk about that night. No, I don't want to get into that. But no, the place again. It's this place of power, though. There's one thing I was thinking of also. You know, the White House goes through a lot of. I imagine maybe not the actual superstructure, the infrastructure of the house, but I'm sure in between presidents. From what I understand, it goes through a lot of renovation too, right? All these crazy, usually when a new president moves in, they can decorate certain parts of it. From what I understand, right?
So there's right the upper floors, yeah, that's where they live, yeah.
Yeah, they can change all that stuff around. I mean, I don't know if that involves knocking walls down or whatever, but I'm sure there may be a certain amount of construction done, right? Repainting, maybe redoing some stuff. And now we've heard stories about place homes or whatever, buildings being changed around or being moved or knocked down or being rebuilt down or whatever, that they all of a sudden they see a spike in activity or they see activity after from before they didn't see any, right? So that might be something else that may add to all the weird things that happen at the White House too.
Right, right. Yeah, no, that is part of it, and it's an incredible process. There's only 8 hours every between presidents. It's really an incredible thing. They have 4 hours to move the sitting president. This January, they'll move out George Bush in 4 hours, and they'll move Barack Obama in 4 hours during the inauguration day. So it's an incredible thing, but you're right. Those upper floors, you can decorate yourself. But keep in mind, I mean, this is a temporary home. Every president knows that. Every president knows this. This is not I can't imagine, too, having been there and talked to some of the staff, that can't be a comfortable place to live. And I'm not talking about heat or cold or anything like that. I just mean, come on, you're in a fishbowl. You can't just run out and, get a donut or something. I mean, you're trapped there.
Yeah, you really are. I mean, yeah, every move, everybody comes through the gate, I'm sure there's reporters sitting there just waiting for someone to come out. You can't just leave there and go hang out, like you said. I mean, it's impossible. So it may not be that comfortable of an environment to live in.
Yeah, no, I can't imagine. And, it's a demanding job. I know we give our presidents a lot of crap, and hey, we should. I mean, that's our right too,
Yeah.
But at the same time, man, it's, I wouldn't want the job ever.
I wouldn't take the job in a second. I would never do it. I couldn't take with the ridicule. I get mad enough nowadays just for the little things I do. If I had a couple million people jumping down my throat every day, I'd lose my mind. I'd run out of there screaming probably. Then they'd take pictures of that.
So, right. Yeah. And they wouldn't let you.
Now, I got to ask you about this, too. We're flying through this like we always do with you, Jeff. We mentioned the kids.ghostvillage.com.
Did we mention that?
I think we mentioned
it briefly.
On break.
Oh, we mentioned it on break. Okay. Yeah.
We
mentioned it now. Okay.
We mentioned
it on break. Your listeners can't hear that.
Yeah. Thanks, Jeff.
I'm here to help.
Along with the kids' book, like we were just talking about, Who's Haunting the White House, you've launched a new website for parents and kids on ghosts called kids.ghostvillage.com.
Which, by the way, is your first good website.
Yeah, it's a fantastic website.
Everything you do up to now is practice, just like this is your first good show.
I don't think we've had one yet.
I don't know. Yeah, I have to hold off on judgment on that one. But yeah.
You get it down eventually.
I'm hoping the eighth year is a charm. But
what's this all about, though? I mean, kids.ghostvillage.com. Tell us about it.
Yeah. Okay. So the idea was there were no resources out there like this. So number one, when I was 10 years old, I wanted to get into investigations, and I think there are ways that kids can get into do this safely, and smart and things like that. And so it's a resource for kids who want to start investigating how to do it. Even, you know, you don't have to go buy a FLIR, you know, thermal imaging camera for $8,000. You can get a, yeah. get a notebook and a pen. You can get a camera, which is stuff you probably already own. There's tips and forms on how to get started. There's ways for parents to discuss ghosts with their kids, because you could say, well, ghosts aren't real or whatever, but they're portrayed as real on a million different television shows, magazines, websites, and everything else. The kids are being bombarded with that message. And so, you know, on the one hand, I think you can also ghost hunt as a family. That's an opportunity. There's also a resource for parents who believe they live in a haunted house and they want to talk to their kids about it. I've got a great advisory board, which includes, you know, a doctor, a PhD, my sister, who's one of my advisors. She's a psychologist. She works with children exclusively, educators on how we can use ghosts in the classroom, ways that we can say, like, okay, this subject is floating out there. You can believe in it, not believe in it. That's kind of irrelevant. Mm-hmm. It's there, and here's ways that we can use it in a positive way. If you're a parent dealing with a haunting, here's how you talk to your kids about ghosts. The bottom line is, don't answer any more questions than they ask. You know, like,
yeah.
if you've got young children who say, you know, is our house really haunted? What's most important for parents to remember is that their kids believe that their parents are in charge and that the kids are safe. The kids always have to believe that they're safe. And so, yeah, we know the house is haunted. It's okay. We're in charge. You're going to be okay. That's kind of all you have to say to really young children. As they get older, they might have some questions, and you should answer those questions, but no more, no less.
Yeah.
You know, and don't go on and on. Don't go on with theories. Just answer the questions. Let them know you're in charge. That's the bottom line. They have to feel safe and secure. If you don't feel safe and secure where you live, everything breaks down from there. There's a whole hierarchy of needs. And, you know, safety and security is really near the bottom, near the base. And if you don't have that, then you can't be fulfilled in so many other ways. So you must feel safe and secure. It's critical that your kids feel safe and secure where they live. You too, as an adult, especially if you're dealing with something that you think might be a bit dangerous. So
just ways to
broach all those subjects. That was the point, and that's what we've launched.
And I know from personal experience growing up myself that, you know, that's the first thing my folks said to me. They didn't have your resource here. That may have helped even more, but I know when I got scared at nighttime and things like that, they would say things like, this is your home. This belongs to you. We're in, you know, like, not, they didn't exactly say we're in charge here, but they laid that vibe down and said, look, you know, this is your place. You got no reason to be worried about those things. We're going to protect you. You got no problems at all. Now, the question I have towards that, go ahead, Doug.
Well, we have an advisory board too, but the head of it is, you know, three-fingered Ed from the pub. And so that's why.
Yeah.
So I have to say, I really, really like this idea. And of course, Scott, that's your name. Scott just went through it.
You're pissing me off.
I'm sorry. I was distracted. But Scott just went through, and we were looking at all the stuff, and it's very well laid out. And obviously, you give a lot of good information, and I'm really, really impressed. I really, really like this. Friendly environment. The fact that it's written for parents and kids. Wow. I'm surprised this wasn't done, and I'm really glad that it was you that did it.
And good job for a change.
Oh, my first good thing.
Yeah,
I'm getting it out of the park tonight.
Yes, you are.
The one question I have, though, Jeff, is, you know, concerning the site. You know, like I was just saying, you know, my parents did that for me. Excuse me. All right, no, I'm better. When I was, you know, a kid, they would say, you know, this is your home. You have nothing to worry about. There are no ghosts, Scott. Don't worry about that, right?
Right.
Now, and that's one thing we've talked about a lot here in the past, is that as a person grows up from being a child, they're bombarded with that information. Like, there are no ghosts. There are no ghosts. There are no ghosts, right? And then that tends to, you know, we've talked about ideas that, you know, this may have shut people down in their later years, where they were a lot less spiritually developed, where they were a lot less in tune, where they may have been a lot more in tune if they had more of a nurturing environment. So, I mean, as far as the direction of kids.ghostlytalk.com, kids.ghostlytalk.com. It is to educate,
it's
right?
Kids.ghostvillage.
Oh, shit. Oh, my God. I almost said it yesterday,
too. Are you going toe-to-toe already?
Well, kids.ghostlytalk.com would obviously be a better website, but, you did the best you could with
your... I stomp on your URL.
Three-fingered Ed from the pub really wants a shot at this.
I stomped on your URL, and I even said the S word on the air, too. I can't believe that.
No, that's totally okay.
No, I'm sorry.
He's never coming back on our show.
At the end of the day, I think parents have to be parents. And if you comb through the site, you'll notice that we don't imply that ghosts are real or not real. That's for parents. You also have to incorporate this into your religious belief system. You have to make peace with that as well.
So
we're not going to tell people what religion to be. We're not going to tell people anything. Like, parents have to be parents. So you have to incorporate what you believe and do your best with your own children. If you truly believe there are no ghosts and all these things flying around your house and the knocks and the cold spots and all that other stuff, it just has some normal, explanation. You still have to deal with the fact that your kid watches television, goes to school, and lives in an environment where they're being bombarded with a message that ghosts are real, and that's how they may interpret it, because that message may be stronger than the one coming from their parents, depending on the age of the kids. Mm-hmm. So, there's a dialogue that has to happen. At the end of the day, parents always have to be parents. There's no way around that. So we just want to provide some tools to help along the way.
Well, that's fantastic, Jeff, I have to say. And it's a really, like Doug said, it's a wonderful website. And it does help a lot of people out. Times are changing. Things are a lot different now.
People are talking about the paranormal
more. Yeah, they're talking about
this
stuff a lot more.
Resources like this available, I think you can talk about it with your kids, and then when they grow up, they'll be able to talk about it with their kids, and it'll be more acceptable.
We'll be building on top of that, and hopefully that'll lead to greater, bigger and greater things in the field, where people can start making some discoveries now, too, as opposed to...
Right.
So updating their MySpace page or whatever. I mean, that's okay. It's a different discussion right there. But it's a wonderful tool. I think it's a great way to for kids, young kids. This is something to for them to look at. Whereas my parents and your parents and Doug's parents just kind of had to go by the fly by the seat of their pants.
Right.
Nice resource out there.
What could you say back then?
Yeah. So kudos to you on that, Jeff. It's fantastic. Unfortunately, we are at the top of the we're like totally at the end of the show here. But I have to say, Jeff, it has been a long time. We haven't had you on the show in a while. But
blunders tonight. It may be another long time.
I had a couple of doozies too.
I still love you unconditionally, Jeff.
We really appreciate it, Jeff. We consider you a dear friend, and we think you've been doing this longer than just about anybody out there, so we really admire the work you've always done, and we're honored to have you on the show always.
So happy Thanksgiving to you and everybody there in the Belanger household.
Thank you, two guys. Yeah, everything's rocking there, and I hope we see each other maybe sometime.
I hope we do. Hang on the line, though. Don't leave us just yet, okay, Jeff? Hang tight for 1 second. Top of the second from last live show of the year.
Yes.
I didn't even realize that until the beginning of the show.
Yeah, wow, amazing. And I have to say thank you to absolutely everybody who participated in the show, and thank you for everybody who listened to the show, because, you guys, I hope
Jeff
you
Belanger,
get stuff
of course,
out of this,
Jeff
Belanger, and...
Paul Schroeder.
Paul Schroeder.
Dave DeCosta of Rise Up Paranormal. Wonderful
Ken,
group. Yeah.
Fantastic stuff. And thank you, everyone, for listening.
Yeah,
happy
really
Thanksgiving
it.
To everybody, to you and yours. Enjoy your turkeys and whatnot this upcoming Thursday. And we'll see you again next week.
Yeah, we'll be here next week for our last live show of the year. Wow. That just sounds so weird in November.
It's really bizarre. I'm looking forward to it, too.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Guys, we'll talk to you guys later. This has been Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
And I'm Bonnie.
And we'll see you later.
Ghostly Talk! You have been listening to Ghostly Talk Paranormal Talk Radio. The Ghostly Talk audio program is distributed for free under the Open Content License. Please share with all your friends and support independent media.